Joyful Blessings. This is Kaylin Castell with a overview of the year 2013. I am the co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School, a 501c3 educational nonprofit. I am the co-author of the Shamanic Astrology Handbook that was revised and updated and expanded in 2012. I am the author and narrator of the 12 Tribes CD, A Guided Journey Through the Archetypes of the Signs and How They Relate to Our Seasonal Experience with Sound Healing Music by John Dumas. And I am the creator of the Celestial Timings, an e-zine that I began back in 1996, astronomy astrology e-zine, one of the first of its kind. It is beginning its 17th year now in 2013. I'm very excited to continue to offer this work to help people reconnect with the magical link between the earth and the sky, and to know what time it is and how we can work with these timings to maximize our creational process, our work as co-creators here on this planet. And when we know what time it is, when we know what's happening in the greater celestial cycles and how that affects us here and how we can co-participate based on the idea that we inform the mysteries as much as they inform us. So when we know what's going on, we can be in that co-creative process with great mystery. So I'm excited. I'm very delighted to share with you this overview. And basically what I will be doing is touching on the highlights of this upcoming year. And 2013 is a pretty remarkable year. So many things happening. And we have made it through, of course, the infamous December solstice 2012. And we are now at this amazing turning point. We have turned our, you know, the consciousness of the planet and the collective consciousness we each are adding to this time so that we are in the co-creation of the new earth. And knowing these magical timings and working with them and co-creating with them is such an incredible way to empower our ability to help inform the mysteries and to be informed by them. So the always in looking at anything from this perspective, we could say from a shamanic astrology perspective, we're looking at the largest context first, the largest context of what's happening in the sky. And let me just mention one more thing before we jump into that part, and that is that we do live with a Gregorian calendar. January 1st, 2013 is not connected to a celestial cycle. It's not connected to something that is specific with, you know, a full moon or a new moon or an equinox or a solstice. In fact, January 1st of any year is 10, 11 days after the solstice, depending on what day the solstice happens to fall on. So it's not connected to a solar gateway. There are some remarkable things that do happen around the first of every year at this time that's based on the precessional cycle, and that's something I will explain in greater detail in the January Celestial Timings written version and the audio version. But for now, just this is the date that has been chosen to mark the beginning of a new year, and it kind of puts everybody on the same chronological page. It's like tracking time in a very chronos way. Chronos was the Greek god of time. So chronological time is connected to chronos. And it is also more linear, and it actually disconnects us from a more magical way of seeing time and co-creating with the experience of time. So we do have this Gregorian calendar. It was instituted in 1582 by a papal bull from Pope Gregory VIII. I will be doing an audio for my Celestial Timing subscribers that goes into detail about all lots of things around this Gregorian calendar. It's pretty amazing. But one thing to know is that this calendar only drifts less than a day every 3,236 years. So it's very precise. Every year it's coming back, and because we have leap years and we have a way of sort of adjusting for time, it's like everybody who uses this calendar can kind of know where they are in chronological time and it's a way for us to be able to communicate and connect. So that does have its benefits that way. The challenge being that we have been disconnected from a more magical way of tracking time. And so the celestial timing, shamanic astrology, are two ways or an understanding of that more magical experience of time and how we can have an experience of sacred time. So what I'm sharing with you here this year are some of the sacred timings that are happening in 2013. And so, again, we begin with the largest context of the 26,000-year cycle. And what this means is that in the grandest context of time that the human senses can kind of wrap our sort of senses around, our ability to perceive something around, is the precessional cycle known as the precession of the solstices and equinoxes. Now, these points in space that determine our seasonal experience. So the equinoxes are the equal day, the day is half of our experience, and the night is half of our experience. So it's, you know, equal number of days of hours of light as an equal number of hours of dark at the equinox points. The solstices, the December solstice in the northern hemisphere is our shortest day, our longest night, and the June solstice in the northern hemisphere is our longest day and shortest night. So opposite, they're reversed of each other. And of course, in the southern hemisphere, they're having the opposite experience seasonally. These points in space move through the constellations 1 degree every 72 years. So approximately 1962, the sun at the solstices began rising on what we call the galactic crosses. These are places in the sky where the galactic equator, the plane of the galaxy, and the plane of the solar system intersect. And they form what we call the galactic crosses. One is near galactic center between the constellation of the Archer and the Scorpion, and the other is at the galactic edge looking out beyond our galaxy between the constellation of the Twins and the Bull. Once for a time period of at least, we could say, 72 years, starting in 1962, going to 2034, with the center point being in 1998, the sun is on the cross at the solstice points. And the solstices also represent the time when the sun is standing still for 3 days. So the way we can describe this is to say the sun on the cross for 3 days. And if you've been tracking the celestial timings, I've been talking about this for a long time, and there are audios that go into more detail about this, so I won't spend a lot more time here. But December 21st, 2012 was only one of these times when the sun is on the cross. And we will have this going on for many more years, continuing to at least 2032. So we are in a zone of the turning of the ages, of the turning of a 26,000-year cycle. Because the sun is on the cross at the December solstice, is also in the dark rift, the birth canal, the Mayans were tracking this. So it's like the time when we're birthing a whole new 26,000-year cycle. They also tracked it with another 26,000-year cycle called the solar zenith points. And when the Pleiades and the sun were conjunct at a solar zenith, on a solar zenith days, which is happening now and is again another time, you know, frame of time of at least 72 years that that's happened, that would let them know we were at this turning of a 26,000-year cycle. So that is the largest context that we have been tracking and talking about in shamanic astrology, and I've been talking about in the celestial timings for the last 17 years, and we'll be talking about for many more years to come. Now, the next largest context, this means that the next solstices, the June solstice 2013 and the December solstice 2013, are just as significant and as important as the ones that happened in 2012 or, you know, have been happening all along, because we are in the time when the sun is on the cross for 3 days. The sun on the cross for 3 days. Think about that and the mythic significance of the sun being on the cross for 3 days. pretty amazing. I'm always blown away when I think about that. So that is, again, our largest context. The next largest context to be aware of at this time is the Uranus-Pluto square. Now, I have done extensive audios on the planet Uranus, the planet Pluto, Uranus in Aries, which is where Uranus is until 2018, I believe, or 2017, something like that, and Pluto in Capricorn, where Pluto is until 2024. I forget the exact date, but somewhere in there. So it's there. They're going to be in these signs for a very long time. Pluto takes 248 years to go through all the signs. Uranus takes 84 years to go through all the signs. So when they come into a relationship to one another, it's many years in that relationship. So we've been experiencing this relationship for probably the last 2 years at least, and we'll be experiencing this relationship. The last Uranus-Pluto square is in 2015. And they stay within the range of each other for a couple of years beyond that. So we've been in this process already, and we are going to continue to be in it for the next couple of years, 3 years, very intensely. There were two exact Uranus-Pluto squares in 2012. The first one was on June 24th, and the second one was on September 19th. So that happened this last year. And then the next two that will happen in 2013 will be exact on May 20th and November 1st. But the thing to know is that those exact dates may or may not produce some, you know, amazing events in the world of form, you know, that where there's great news, things that are taking place, although it might. But more importantly is that this Uranus-Pluto effect is all it's very close and intense the whole entire year. All last year, all this year, all next year is the strongest center point of the Uranus-Pluto square. I've done quite a bit of audio work on this already, so I won't say too much more about it other than to say that Uranus is about breaking down old forms. It's a change agent. It's a radical revolutionary change agent. Pluto is also about change. It's about the dismantling, Pluto and Capricorn particularly, the dismantling of the old forms, the old structures that no longer work, to empower what's birthing, what's coming into its new form and to a place of greater empowerment. And that is for the Earth herself. So if that means that people, you know, earthquakes need to happen or volcanoes need to go off or whatever it needs to take place, tsunamis, whatever, those will be the kinds of things that happen without regard for the people that are living here. But the intention is to bring greater empowerment. So Uranus is this revolutionary energy to bring growth and change and events of extreme novelty, ways of looking and experiencing things, looking at things in new ways, experiencing things in completely new and innovative ways. And Pluto is really all about death and rebirth and transformation. What does it take? What do we need to die to in order to be transformed into something new? And so that's the process that we're in planetarily. Now, the degrees of this Uranus-Pluto square this year are from about 9 degrees Capricorn Aries to 11 degrees for Pluto. Uranus is actually going to go up as far as 12.5, and Pluto goes up to 11.5 this year. So that means that if you have planets, angles, or nodes on your chart in Capricorn, Cancer, Aries, or Libra in these degrees, between 9 degrees and, say, 13 degrees of these signs, you are on the leading edge. You are experiencing this in a very personal way. So these initiations are going to be more personal to you. And for the rest of us, we will still be feeling the effects of it, you know, maybe not as personally, but we'll definitely be noticing what's going on globally. And again, this is, as I've mentioned many times before, when Uranus and Pluto come together, this is the time of revolution. We can see more people taking to the streets than ever before in our recorded history. Last year, there was all kinds of unreported news stories about all the people that were taking to the streets in Mexico and Spain and Greece and different places around the world. We see what's going on in Syria. I mean, it is definitely a time. There was the things that were going on in Libya and Egypt and so on. The people are rising up and to say it's time for change. So this is what's going on. Another way to look at this is it's another octave of what was going on in the late 60s. That was a time when Uranus and Pluto were together and it was like a new moon point. So here we are at the first quarter square, you know, like a waxing new moon, a time that's sometimes referred to as crisis in action. Crisis meaning to decide to take some kind of action for change, for the purpose of change, that is evolutionary, so revolutionary change for evolutionary purposes. Now, something else to know about this particular time is that in addition to the new structures, how we perceive our reality and what we're experiencing and ultimately to become empowered through this process, every week the moon will be in one of the four signs of either Capricorn, Cancer, Libra, or Aries, because each month the moon is going through all four of those signs, and acts as a trigger point to the Uranus-Pluto square. In addition to that, the sun will also, when it's in Capricorn, early degrees Capricorn, Cancer, Libra, or Aries, will also be activating the Uranus-Pluto square. So there's four times this year, and that's going to be around the equinoxes and solstices, with the first one in 2013 happening around the March equinox. And in addition to that, Venus and Mercury will also be moving into the spots to activate this Uranus-Pluto square. The first time will be in January for Venus and Mercury. And then Mars will also, in March, come in to activate the spot. It will also, in July, I believe, when it goes into Cancer. And Jupiter, for the first time in 12 years, is going to be in Cancer, and it'll be activating the Uranus-Pluto square, creating an expansive energy around that, and that will be happening in late June. So this is truly a remarkable time where this energy is being expanded in ways that are beyond our ability even to probably comprehend the level of change and revolution and activation that'll be taking place this year. So in terms of our ceremonial intent and staying connected to this, and especially the full moons and new moons in Capricorn, Cancer, Aries, and Libra can be very powerful timings, again, too, that will be activating in addition to the times when the sun is at the solstices and equinox points in the first week or so after that, activating this time, these energies of Uranus and Pluto. So the other thing is that Venus, I guess in May, Venus and Mercury will again pass through the area that will be in activation. And then again in August, Venus will pass through Libra, Mercury will pass through Libra in September, and Mars will pass through in the first week of December. So there'll be another activation point that's happening around those times as well, in addition to what the moon is doing. And when these planets and the moon come together, it's going to like amp up that energy even more so. So these are trigger points that are definitely worth noting and paying attention to. Now, in addition to that, another thing that's going to happen is when the moon is in Capricorn, it will be occulting Pluto until August, or up through August of this year. it did it all last year, and there's several more that are happening in 2013. And occultations are an acceleration of the energy that's already in place. So that series of Pluto moon occultations, and I've done a lot of audios and additional information on what that all means. So definitely, you can check that out in the Celestial Timings. Paid subscribers have free access to all of these audios. If you want to get the more details on that, it's definitely available to you. Now, the grand there's a grand sextile, actually a grand trine in water, that begins when Jupiter enters Cancer at the end of June of this year. And we have Neptune in Pisces and Saturn in Scorpio. So this is a grand trine that's going to be in place for a very long time. Neptune in Pisces and Saturn in Scorpio, any planets moving through Cancer will complete that trine. And in fact, Mars goes into Cancer mid-July. And so Jupiter and Mars will be there together. In addition to that, the Mercury retrogrades this year, there's three of them, and they will all be in water signs. And this doesn't happen but every 6 or 7 years when the retrogrades happen to be in water. The first one will be February 23rd in Pisces, lasting till March 17th. The second one is June 26th to July 20th, that's in Cancer. And then the third one is October 21st to November 10th, a very fascinating Mercury retrograde that's going to activate a certain fixed star called Zubin el-Janubi, something that I will do a lot more detail work on. It'll also be passing by Saturn three times and Zubin el-Janubi three times. And these Mercury retrogrades are going to be huge activation points during this year, definitely worth tuning into. In the end of July, there will be a grand sextile, meaning there's a grand trine in water and a grand trine in Earth. The grand trine in Earth will be with Pluto and Capricorn, Venus and Virgo. So that grand trine isn't going to stay together very long, and it will be completed when the moon moves into Taurus. We also have the South Node in Taurus. So those are going to be very significant timings. That July 29th timing will be really fascinating. We'll definitely put more emphasis and attention on that as we get towards that time. So in the nodal axis, the North Node is in Scorpio. We have eclipses in April, actually three in April, two lunar and one annular eclipse. April 25th is the first lunar, May 9th and 10th is the annular eclipse, solar eclipse, and then May 25th is the third eclipse of that particular eclipse season, which will be fascinating because it's with Saturn. The first one, the lunar eclipse, is with Saturn. And then there will be a hybrid. Well, there'll be another lunar eclipse October 18th or 19th, depending on your time zone. And that's a lunar eclipse. And then there will be a hybrid annular that becomes total in some places on the planet, but only annular in some places on November 3rd. And that's also again with Saturn. So, and eclipses are acceleration points. So Saturn's in Scorpio, and I did a whole two audio series on Saturn and Scorpio and how it connects to Pluto and Capricorn. Saturn is like Capricorn, Pluto is like Scorpio, so they're kind of in each other's signs right now, and this is going to definitely be creating an amazing activation of the energies with this mutual reception between Saturn and Pluto. Plus, Saturn spends much of the year with a fixed star, Kambalia, a star of secret knowledge, and Saturn can only be here every 30 years. And this will be a lot of, you know, I've already done audios on Kambalia and Saturn coming by this particular star. Saturn will also get within 3 degrees of Zubin el-Janubi. This is one of the fixed stars that is in the scales and represents a gateway. It's, when the sun is at 15 Scorpio, it is conjunct this star. And that is the cross quarter between the September equinox and the December solstice. So it's an extremely important part of the sky right now. And Saturn and Mercury will pass by, and I said, you know, that Mercury retrograde in November, Mercury will pass by this star three times, and it's going to pass by Saturn three times as well. And the nodes were going to be in that area of the sky, and it's just really an amazing activation that's taking place, very much worth our attention and noting and how to work with that in a ceremonial way. So another thing to be conscious of is that Venus and Mars are going to be in the underworld. They both go into the underworld in February, so they'll be traveling together with the sun. It's a time for the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine to source a new way of relating to one another. 6.5 years ago this happened, and it's every 6.5 years Venus and Mars come together with the sun in the underworld. And so that will go on for February, March. Venus actually enters the evening sky about May 6th and will be around 26 degrees Taurus when that happens, and that's with the Pleiades, another really important star that we've already mentioned, a star group, and part of what the annular eclipse in May of 2012 was with the Pleiades. So Venus rising up near the Pleiades into the evening sky in May is going to be fascinating to see that and to see what energy and what gets activated through our intention around that time. And Mercury and Venus will be together for about within 10 degrees for most of June in the evening sky. And that was something that the Temple of Solomon was built to track when Venus and Mercury came together. And there were certain times when it would rise up in the east. This isn't going to be one of them, but when Venus and Mercury rose in the east together, that was seen as the return of the Shekinah. so that's going to be happening. And then we will end the year 2013. On the December solstice, Venus is turning retrograde and will be completing her current cycle and getting ready to start a new cycle in January of 2014. So anybody who's turning a multiple of 8 in this year of 2013, so 8 meaning turning 8, 16, 24, 32, 40, 48, 56, 64, 72, 80, 88, and so on, you are in a very unique and special Venus return time. And it definitely would be worth your time to pay attention to what's going on with Venus. If you're a woman, this is a higher octave expression of the divine feminine energy that you came to explore, express, and help evolve. We could say a dropping in of the feminine archetype in an even deeper way for you. Each 8 years that happens. And for men, it's an opportunity to do the sacred marriage work, to really connect with that deep inner feminine part of themselves and in so doing, improve their relationship with the feminine externally by being very conscious of their internal feminine connection. So I do Venus-specific readings for people to help them navigate this time and make the most of it. So you can contact me if you are a person who's in a Venus return or know that you will be turning a multiple of 8 in 2014. That means you will be beginning a Venus return then, and it's really great to get that information prior to the Venus return happening. So that pretty much covers the highlights. And of course, there I'm sure I missed some pieces. There's so much going on every month, pretty much every day these days with the celestial cycles. Being able to tune into the new moons, the full moons, the solstices and equinoxes, the eclipses, and the planetary configurations are ways that can really help support our personal journey. And there are certain times when it can be very useful to go more deeply inward and contact that place inside of you that can help you to navigate this particular time. And then there are certain times where it's really about taking action. It doesn't really matter what action you take, but do something. Take some kind of action to move the energy into a direction. And if it's not the right direction or the most perfect direction, that's okay, because course corrections can always happen. But at least be moving the energy in that particular direction. So my wish for all of you, my intention for all of you, is that you will have a truly fulfilling, magical, wondrous, and miraculous 2013.